You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Every night, I dream the same dream. The nightmare begins. I did what I had to do to protect our world.
You cannot control everything, Strange. You opened the doorway between universes, and we don't know who or what will walk through it.
Wanda, what do you know about the multiverse?
Viz had his theories. He believed it was dangerous.
He was right.
I'm sorry, Stephen. Your desecration of reality will not go unpunished.
We should tell him the truth.
Oh my God.
Welcome to the Multiverse of Madness podcast. Yes, it's the Periodic Table of Awesome, coming to you live from Universe 353.
Yay!
Yay! Hello, I'm your host, Dion. Joined by
Jill.
The bunny.
Hello, Jill the bunny. I'm Quinny, the white thing. I'm assuming I'm
a fucking polar bear.
Yes. Oh dear. And what does the fox say?
Why?
Oh dear. Oh, yes. Dear. Hello to everyone. We found a new feature. Yes, and while that makes sense to everyone watching the live stream, makes no sense in an audio format whatsoever.
Yeah, admittedly, audio, this one's going to be like a, what the fuck are they doing? So
yeah.
Yeah. So visual description for those people who are listening in on the podcast. Dion, what are you?
Dion is wearing an anamorphic picture of a cowhead on this particular podcast.
Jill is wearing, would you like to describe yourself, please, Jill?
Yes, I would describe myself as a grey bunny.
Excellent.
Not a floppy-eared one, quite alert ears. Yes.
You say alert, I would have gone erect, or whatever.
And that is why we're different.
True. Peter?
I am a very adorable fox in a hoodie.
Yes.
That's the best feature of the fox.
Yes, you are, but tell me about what you're wearing.
Okay.
And, you're a saucy
and I believe
bear.
I'm meant to be a cute polar bear, but I could be a stoat. I'm not sure.
Oh.
I think you're an obtuse polar bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Hi-yo.
Ansky in the chat has pointed out that we can tell the listening audience that if they are ever curious about one of the terrible visual gags that they may hear about, there is a YouTube upload, generally, yep. Yeah. Is there not?
There is.
It's on Twitch. Yeah. It's on YouTube. You can see it.
Usually either the same night that we do this or the night after, depending on how tired I am.
But I got to say, don't get too excited. The visual gags might not be worth going to a whole different website.
Hey, this is powerfully good content right here.
Hey, what I like about this is you can't we're waving our arms around and nothing's happening. But if you stick your tongue out, it's like totally Or give us a wink. Someone give us a wink. Go on.
It doesn't work. It's not working. I'm trying. Not working.
It's not working.
And I just do this.
There you go.
Turn to the side.
Anyway, right.
Give it some awful eyebrows now. Okay, we've had our fun. I reckon I'm going to turn mine off now.
What? Are you shifting universes? Oh my God.
I'm back in the regular universe.
Ooh, I have returned.
Okay. Oh, Right. Well, now I'm in the same boring ass universe as everybody else.
Except for Peter. She's not.
She's just like,
I'm trying, guys. I'm stuck.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, no. Truly, it is a multiverse.
Perfect.
Hey.
There we go. What are we doing tonight, folks? Finally, what have we got to? It's been a lot.
That was our little multiverse of madness. Now we're going to talk about the actual one.
But
that people paid billions of dollars to make.
Yeah. Well, 200 million, but we're going to get into this. This is a divisive film, I believe.
I feel like it is. And I'm just going to pop across to a different universe now. This is going to be the French universe. So, bonjour. Bonjour, je m'appelle Quinny, and welcome to the multiverse of madness.
I'm Captain France.
I'm Captain François. Francaise.
You have the red, white, and blue, of course, like the French colors.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, I'm going to stop fucking around with universes.
Ridiculous.
I'm sorry.
Let's get serious.
This is a very serious podcast.
Take off
we're 7 minutes in, and there is a lot to talk about.
Peace keeping time. We're in trouble tonight.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I feel like spoiler section is going to be hefty.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not missing. There is a lot to talk about.
We're not messing around here. So I do actually have some music for the synopsis. Quinny, do you have a synopsis for us? Do you want to get into
that? I do. Now, which universe would you like it to come from?
Please not the Mexican one.
Okay, how's about I just do it from, a normal universe?
About the 420 universe.
Okay, right, I got you. Right, there we go.
It's not matching the music, for fuck's sake.
In Marvel Studios... No, I'm not going to do it as a... I'm just like, fuck.
Ralph, I don't know, could you fall back on the old standard? Ralph the dog.
Studios Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. The MCU unlocks the multiverse and pushes its boundaries further than ever before. Journey into the unknown with Doctor Strange, not Dr. Teeth in the Electric Mayhem, however. With the help of mystical allies, both old and new, traverses the mind-bending and dangerous alternate realities of the multiverse to confront a mysterious, but not for very long, new adversary. There you go.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you.
Anytime. I'm going to lose the glasses because they're distracting me.
Yeah, and the distracting is like, can anyone recognize the music that I'm playing? Just a little bit underneath there. No, don't get it?
I was too busy listening to
I wasn't listening to the music at all.
Yeah, sorry. Fuck, okay, you... Unadulterated heathens. I'll leave that into a. I'll wait for the chat to maybe catch up on what's going on with it, but it comes from another Sam Raimi film. There you go. There's a hint for you.
Oh. It's the bit out of Spider-Man 3, isn't it? It's the dance number.
The jazz. Yes.
It's very much not the dance number.
It's a slow jazz number from Spider-Man 3. No, it is not.
Amazing.
Thanks. Finally, we all got around to seeing. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is not In the Mouth of Madness, which is a different Sam Neill film.
Essentially different.
Similish. And I'm with this one.
Oh, really?
Because I don't think it's a Marvel film.
Oh,
there you go. Really? There's my,
okay,
there's
that, is, my, that is not the criticism I was expecting from you, my friend.
There's also, my there's my the thing that I'm coming out there with it. I think that this is two films that has been pushed together weirdly, and in the end it is not a Marvel film. I think that this is it's got all the flavorings of a Marvel film. It looks like a Marvel film on the packet. But it is not a Marvel film inside, and that's where I kind of went, this is a strange speed bump in the, what are we up to? What phase are we into now? Five?
Four?
We've got four.
We're still in the guts of phase four, I believe.
Halfway through four.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's my slightly hottest of hot takes there. No explanation, of course, because I could go.
Yeah,
on
I was
going to
say,
ages.
Can I have a please explain?
Sure.
Yeah,
I can
but
give
why?
You, I can give you a boutoir. The Canadian, but why? The boutoir.
Boutoir.
This is just very definitely a Sam Raimi film where Sam Raimi is just Sam Raimiing himself all across the Sam Raimi film with a much bigger budget than he's ever had cause to do with before. And he's definitely gone into this to make his idea of what he wanted to make. And it just feels like he didn't give a shit about anything else to do with the Marvel Universe. Like,
okay. Yeah. I will take you up on that second point, but I do counter with what did Taika Waititi do with Thor Ragnarok?
Exactly.
Yeah, but see, Thor Ragnarok was fun and no one gives a shit about Thor.
This was fun.
Fucking great fun.
This was fun. Really? This was so much fun.
I thought that this was like pretty much an unmitigated kind of stupid disaster that didn't pay any attention to the shit that's gone before and totally undercut.
I thought it was very respectful of the shit
and totally undercut most of the other characters and the character. I think it completely destroys like all the pathos of WandaVision.
Okay, so that is where my niggle lies with the movie, but overall I found it very enjoyable and very fun and quite groundbreaking for a Marvel movie. It wasn't a copy paste of everything else.
Completely
undercooked
and half baked edition of America Chavez into a film that had basically fridges most of the female characters apart from the Scarlet Witch, and they only ever show her evil side. And yeah, I just kind of went there with it. This is a mess, but it is just Sam Raimi ticking every single Sam Raimi box that has ever been done. And at the end, I'm just like, what the fuck was that?
There were issues with the female characters, but I will reiterate, the movie is called Doctor Strange. It was his movie.
Yeah.
And so I kind of have to set aside my issues with what they
Peter's eyes went all squinty.
Pete, bear with me. I have to set aside the stuff that happened with Wanda and America and think, okay, wait. It's a Doctor Strange movie. They have to make it about him and his story. But I mean, once you start adding in all these other characters, you got to kind of take them into consideration. And the fact that Sam Raimi only watched key points of WandaVision really that makes me wonder why no one said, hey, this happened at the end. Like, that's kind of a key point.
But this is the thing. And the more I've read into the production of this film, which was up until they decided to go multiverse theory after the Loki TV show, it was just titled Doctor Strange 2 or Doctor Strange sequel for a long, long time. It clearly looks to me like there are two films in here.
Well, okay. And one of the things about it was that it was actually due for release quite a long time ago. It was meant to come out in front of WandaVision.
Yeah.
How the fuck that meant to happen, I have no idea.
Yeah, because Scott Derrickson, the original, you know, director of the first Doctor Strange movie, was supposed to do, like, pull this out in 2016, you know?
Mm.
So, like, this is kind of, it's really, I mean, straight after in 2016. So Doctor Strange came out in 2016, but he was supposed to go straight into making the second one, which was supposed to tie into a few things, and it didn't, and it's just skipped everything. And I feel like the multiverse stuff, as they have admitted, that the Loki TV series really is where they decided to go multiverse theory with the rest of this phase. And that's why I go, it's a poor mess, only held together by the fact that at least everyone who's ever seen a Sam Raimi film was like, he did the thing again. Here's the thing from Sam Raimi. Here's Sam Raimi doing Sam Raimi stuff. You know,
that was the good bit.
I was going to say that, dude, that's what I was fucking here for.
That's the stuff I really liked.
If you said to me that the guy who made Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, forget Spider-Man 3, is doing another superhero action film with a massive budget that's going to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but he's not going to just do the superhero shit. He's going to really ramp up the good shit that Sam Raimi does, namely the horror, namely the action, namely the fucking creepy, kooky, weird shit. And like at the same time.
Like if you like Evil Dead as well, then you will like this movie.
Yeah. And I was all for it. When Sam Raimi was doing Sam Raimi's shit, I was like, fuck yeah, we're getting some Sam Raimi style horror in the middle of my fucking Doctor Strange movie. Awesome. Mm. Sick shit.
But do
I feel like that's the character you can play that stuff with too. Like, why not go full batshit crazy with Doctor Strange?
But it wasn't batshit crazy enough. And I feel like it was like all of that, the good stuff, the fun Sam Raimi shit, 100%. I'm down for it. I wanted to see it. But unfortunately, it was probably an hour and a half too long. And most of the other way to get there, I was like, fuck me, I'm bored shitless with this.
I'm horrified.
I know, see, welcome to the thing. Anyway, the person who has spoken nada about all of this has been Peter. And so I want to shut up and let her talk for a bit. Because we're all giant nerds who can just yell at each other about how we're wrong for hours. Whereas Peter is an educated professional.
Very spirited tonight, isn't it?
Well, I had a feeling it was going to be because I've seen what Fel's been posting.
Yes.
Oh, she's worse than I am.
I know.
When we came out of it on Sunday, she's like, oh, he could have just written his name with his dick on the screen and it would have been the same movie.
And I'm like,
and that's what we came for, isn't it?
I mean, if it had been a Guillermo del Toro movie that was a Doctor Strange, would there have been the same complaint that, oh, well, it was just a Guillermo del Toro movie that just...
Maybe Doctor Strange would have fucked a fish in that one. We don't know, but the multiverse would have let you.
Anyway, Peter, you are being so polite and we are very loud and obnoxious.
Summon the Peter. Do the enchantment.
Bring forth the butt why.
No, she is the industry.
There were a few butt whys in this, and they're all spoilery, so we'll get to them later. In fact, most of my opinion about this is spoilery, so it's hard for me to have my big thoughts out loud at this moment. I will say that, like, I knew it was a Sam Raimi film going in, but I didn't really think about what that meant. And I didn't see the film that I expected to see, either plot-wise or style-wise, which wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. And it took me a little bit to process it, like my big feelings about some of the plot and character stuff in it. But yeah, I just really didn't consider going into it what a Sam Raimi Marvel film would look like, and I guess now I know. I feel like for a lot of people, it's the superhero Raimi mashup that they didn't ask for, and that's possibly why there are going to be so many spirited opinions about it. So I think I'm
polite.
I'm more with Dion, I think, than I am with you guys. There was fun stuff, but as a package, it didn't work for me so much. And I think there's probably a lot playing into that. But part of it is you know, what Dean's talking about, like all of this stuff that it just feels so mashed together. And I think it feels mashed together because it's not sitting where it was supposed to in the flow through of events that they're designing here. And one of the great things about this amazing universe of movies and television that's being created is the way things all connect together over a long period of time. It's really amazing. That's what excites me about it. And it just feels like this one didn't connect to anything. In fact, I almost feel like I had more fun watching it in the moment than thinking about it afterward, because in the moment it didn't, like, I was like, oh, I'm watching kind of like a crazy fun film, and the characters weren't connecting to me as the characters that I know and love from the other films. It was just like a crazy fun film. And then when I thought about it afterward, I was like, no, fuck, that doesn't work for the universe that I have become attached to.
I found that fascinating.
Again, plot-wise and character development-wise, and I cannot talk about anything without going into a spoiler. So
yeah, and it is very difficult because one of the major plot points is still technically a spoiler because it's not in trailers and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it wasn't the film I expected to see by any means, and particularly after No Way Home. And WandaVision and the threads that were set up in those, I guess what I was expecting out of a multiverse movie with Doctor Strange felt like it should flow on from those events, and this did not at all.
Which I feel
like it flowed on from any of those events.
I feel like it, like one of the things to me that I really enjoyed about it was, and I could also see it being used as a criticism, was that this was very much a direct sequel to WandaVision. And a lot of people complained that if you hadn't seen WandaVision, you wouldn't know what the fuck was going on.
I think there were enough context clues that people could
kind of I think there were too, but also I can't separate it from myself because I have seen WandaVision. And I found it really interesting the way that it sort of took what had been done there and those 7 episodes or 8 episodes or whatever it is.
Nine,
is it? Fuck. There you go. those X episodes were spent building up a character to put them into a position where they could then be what they are in this film. That's what I took it as. Now, I know a lot of other people disagree with that. Think of it as
I disagree with that.
A mischaracterization.
Like, until we get to spoilers, I cannot do my rant about why I'm half-half
with you, Quinny, on that half-half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's one part of it. And also, but then again, I also had a problem with No Way Home, and I fucking love No Way Home. But I think the characterization of Doctor Strange in that is so bizarre and off model.
Yeah.
That, like, I thought that was a worse characterization of Doctor Strange than anything in this film.
Although I would say that, like, his character progression in this movie off the back of No Way Home was going in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but see, his character didn't progress at all. Doctor Strange had no growth in this multiverse of madness. He was just a foil. Okay, interesting. So, where did he start, and where did he do the growth? Like, you know, from where he started at the character to the start of Doctor Strange and the multiverse of madness to where he ended up at the end of the multiverse.
Yes. Yeah.
Is there a particular thing that you think he got better at?
Yeah, I think he has learned to drop the ego. Like, that was his biggest foil in the first Doctor Strange film, and what led him to, you know, his accident was his ego and his arrogance. And by the end of this movie, he realized that those were his flaws and actively made a choice to not be that person.
Yeah, and specifically makes choices to allow other people to be the savior for themselves. Like, he gets out of the way and allows somebody else to be their own hero.
Yeah, but he still read the
book. Which is a character flaw that is explored throughout the entire thing,
but he still because
the character is shown in every multiverse as being somebody who cannot accept that they are not the hero.
Mm. Yeah, but they still read the book.
Okay, and the other thing every is, other does one the character get better? No, and the character, in fact, actually in some ways gets worse, and that is still growth.
I understand that. And before we get into the spoilery thing, can I just refresh everyone's memory about, we're talking about this, we're currently halfway through phase 4, all right?
Mm.
Now, phase 1, halfway through, we were getting things like Thor, okay? Just remember this.
I don't even know if you can say that, like, phases 1 and 2 were like a progression. They were much more a block.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about, like, even if you get blocks and you have all these sorts of things, this is where we're kind of sitting at. I mean, in phase 2, we were getting, was it Guardians of the Galaxy and Age of Ultron? You know, Winter Soldier, you know, that was good. And Thor the Dark World, like, you're getting, that was the middle of that one. And by phase 3, you know, we were getting up to the cool shit, like Homecoming, Ragnarok, Black Panther. All right.
Yeah.
And now we're in phase 4 and we're just kind of caught in the middle of.
But also, I would.
Phases mean anything anymore.
I think we can now talk in terms of arcs.
Such a fucking mess, to be honest.
Yeah. I would say that we can.
Out there.
I love that people are confused.
In terms of arcs.
How does it.
There's the infinity arc, which
how
is.
How is it? It's like, oh, it's such a mess. I'm like, everyone who's ever read comics is like, yeah. It's like, how do we get here? I can't even follow what's going on in the movies. I've been doing that for years, guys. Wait till they reboot it and we get Iron Man again.
Oh my god.
With a new variant cover and foil.
If you think you had trouble like trying to follow anything before, then good fucking luck watching this movie where like you just have a scene that's a fucking parade of cameos for you to applaud at. And it's like if you have not
I like that scene.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you have no experience of the 20 years of Marvel that we've been watching up until this point, you are so fucked.
Yeah. And once again, there are a lot of very valid criticisms that I can see being leveled against the film. That sequence with a whole bunch of cameos.
Yeah.
Very easy to just look at that and go,
yeah,
pure fan service. What are you doing?
Pause for applause here. Yeah. Now there's this person.
Pause for applause.
This person. Yeah. Oh, that was a bit stinky.
Yeah, but I liked it anyway.
I know.
I didn't care.
Can we talk about some of the non-spoilery stylistic things?
Yes.
That we liked before we get into spoiler territory?
So besides Sam Raimi being Sam Raimi, can we talk about Danny Elfman just elfing all over the place with his music stylings? Because if there was ever a soundtrack that, you know, if you had to say who did the music, you'd be like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without question, it was a Danny Elfman soundtrack.
And I've missed Danny. Like, I love Danny Elfman's soundtracks. They, you know, there was a period where they got a bit samey. La, 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 la,
bo, bo, bo. Yes.
A period. Define a period. 30 yes. or 40 well, years of the same thing. It's not really a. It's not like.
Yeah, oh, the 90s and Danny Elfman was. No, 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 no.
It's Danny Elfman's blue period.
Oh, Missy's bringing up a scene that I actually loved. She said, I love his work, but the music scene.
That was my favorite scene in the whole movie.
And now we watch Peter die a little.
Cool, but why? Like, but cool, because like I like music and that was fun.
Yeah.
But why?
But that no, was the homage to Phantom reason. Of the Opera that nobody asked for.
Yeah. I mean,
they had Christine, they had a room full of candles, it was rock music and piano. Like, it was Andrew Lloyd Webber by this Danny Elfman.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I mean, you know, you can take your film and do it, like, have a fun spin with it, which is what I thought. Yeah, Taika Waititi shook it up basically after a modicum initial film with Thor and then a, by all accounts, a terrible sequel. It then deserved to be shaken up. This one kind of feels like, you know, everyone's like, oh, Doctor Strange 2 should be good. And it was like, oh, here's the shake up that went a bit too quick. It's like, oh, we're shaking things up. We're like, no, I didn't ask for my Doctor Strange, like, shaken. I wanted it just stirred. Just stirred, please. It's kind of like, we're putting it in the blender. And it's like, no.
I'm actually fine with it because I wasn't that big a fan of the first one.
Yeah, well, that's because you have terrible taste.
I think the first one has some really great concepts and stuff like that, and it plays with some really cool ideas.
Just
some
first one was just generic. Beat for beat Iron Man 1, though.
It was a terrible origin story cool visuals.
They needed to, that was kind of what it was. Apart from the whitewashing, it needed to establish who Doctor Strange was so that they could put that person into the Infinity War. Like, we all know that.
Yeah, so I'm more than happy for them to go in and mess with it and do something different and blend or stir or chop up Doctor Strange in whatever way they require.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's kind of a bit of a weird disservice in the sense where, yeah, I watched two kind of films in there. One that was connected through the Marvel Universe or trying to connect the Marvel Universe by basically just having a lot of flashy color and fairings on it, but underneath the hood it wasn't just the shitty wing, it was kind of a shitty wing bolted on, and then underneath it was like, oh, this is a strange car, like, what the fuck is this gonna do? It's like, it's actually a tank, and you're like, oh, cool, is it cool? I'm not sure, I don't know what's going on. Why does it look like a Ford Festiva, you know? There you go, my metaphors are all over the place.
Of all the characters that we're going to explore in Phase 4, I feel like for Marvel Studios wanting to introduce the multiverse Doctor Strange was the character to do it with. And titling the film Of Madness, you're kind of just left with like a no holds barred kind of thing. And the ability of having multiverses now means that they can do all the batshit crazy stuff like they did that we'll go into in spoilers in this movie with little to no consequences.
Mm. And this is another thing that I've heard a lot of people complain about, is that the introduction of multiverse stuff essentially removes consequence. Like that there are now infinite numbers of the characters and therefore no death is permanent and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a theory on this, and I actually, like, and I will happily hold forth, and I don't think it's a spoiler because this is my theory. My theory on the Brontosaurus. My theory is that the multiverse is actually the big bad of this arc. That they're well aware that introducing a multiverse actually fucks your entire storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So by bringing it in and doing so in the way that they have, where it didn't exist before, and then it did exist thanks to Loki, and then there's now a multiverse-spanning villain in the form of Kang.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they're going to do is the first arc was all about the Infinity Stones and stuff like that. I think this arc is going to be all about putting the multiverse back together into a single sacred timeline.
Ooh, okay.
Because it doesn't work for storytelling. It's shit for storytelling.
Yeah.
It means that there are no consequences. Anytime you need to, just grab another one from another universe, everything's fine. I have a feeling that that's where they're going to go, is to try and recombine it, which will then, much like fucking Crisis on Infinite Earths and all of those stories that DC did in the comics and everything, be a way of cleaning house and allowing you to keep what you want, get rid of what you want, and away you go. That's my theory on the Brontosaurus.
I like that theory, Quinny. And I mean, with Ant-Man and the Wasp being called Quantumania, and that's where we're going to see Kang, apparently. Like, you've got the quantum realm and the multiversal theory there. So, I mean, very well could be.
And, I mean, we've got another series of Loki to come. I'm fascinated to know what the TVA now does.
They're dead.
Well, but they're not. They got deleted. At the end of it, Loki was still in a TVA of some description.
Well, I mean, look.
How do you have the Illuminati and a TVA?
The who?
Yeah.
Shut up, it was in the trailer.
Yeah, I know.
I can talk about it, it's fine.
One of the greatest failings, yeah. But look, I agree. They're just going to eventually have to get to the point where they wrap it all up in a tight bow, just in time for DC and Marvel to release the Justice League versus the Avengers and fuck it all up again.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Which Justice League are we going to get?
Whatever the Disney company, which will eventually buy all entertainment on Earth and decides to release because they own all of the franchises. Star Wars versus Star Trek versus DC versus Marvel in one tight 83-year series.
So we've done quite a bit of arguing about this movie. Shall we rate it and then, like, just talk spoilers? Because I think that's where the juicy stuff's going to happen.
I feel like we have to.
As long as people still keep fighting me on my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
As always, I do want everybody in the chat to rate the shit out of this, and please use the out of 100 thing so I can actually see what you're rating it. I know that Michael over in WA has already sent in his rating of it being a 90%.
90?
That's high.
Jeebus. Matter Christie.
Please drop your numbers there.
Do you want me
first? Is there anything else that we need to talk about before we do the ratings? We've talked about the visuals, talked about the music, we've talked about cast to a degree. Is there anything that we need to do before we go right into?
I think so.
I don't know. I mean, the newcomer, Xochitl Gomez, was like great. She was a MacGuffin for the majority of the movie. Didn't really get to do a whole lot. But, I mean,
come on. Like,
what an incredible actress. She was cast at 13 years old for this movie. Like, she knocked it out of the park. She did a good job. I'm looking forward to seeing America Chavez in more stuff now.
When are we going to see a Sorcerer Supreme movie that's just featuring Wong?
I've,
I want a Wong miniseries of like Wong just being fed up with shit.
I'd like a really cool like traveling road movie story between Wong and Jimmy Woo.
Yep.
Like.
Yep. And
those guys.
The other guy from Ant-Man who's like gives all the recaps.
Luis.
That would be amazing.
And Happy Hogan. Like all of it. It's just kind of
Darcy.
Like,
just the sidekick show.
The sidekick show. Yeah. Maybe you could call it West Coast Avengers.
Oh yes.
Well, you call it West Coast Avengers support team. That's it. It's just them going, wow. God. It's kind of like Peacemaker without the Peacemaker.
Yeah, anyway. I would watch the shit out of that.
Fair enough. All right, I'll go to get out of the way. Look, you know, as I said, I started at 100 and I knocked points off for all the things. I got very confused. I got very bored. I got kind of like, here comes a jump scare. Like, I mean, having seen Raimi stuff, I was like, wow, it's Sam Raimi doing all his Raimi things with more than a Raimi budget has ever had. And I was like, that's nice. I mean, it's always fun, but I did kind of feel like he was pissing it in. But at least he didn't piss it in like Spider-Man 3, where he just went too far up his own ass and he's like, sure, that's a great idea.
You know, he really didn't want to do Spider-Man 3, right?
No one wanted to do Spider-Man 3, but when when Sony says, I'm making it with or without you, and you're like, fine. You know,
he did make the Quick and the Dead on purpose, so like you can't like give him everything.
No, fuck no. I don't give him anything at all. Like his schlock is schlock, and his good is good, and his bad is bad. But it's just a weird sort of choice. I didn't actually have any fun with it, so I'm giving it 50.
Because
I didn't like it. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, I think, was just too much madness. And like, were there some cool bits? Absolutely. But did it make a good movie? No. Like it.
Fuck.
There you go. Wow. 50.
Jill, do you want to balance it out?
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 88. It's not one of my favorite Marvel movies, but I did enjoy the shit out of it. And like, as a person that likes scary movies, I really appreciated the horror elements. I thought it did some very clever stuff. The problems that I had mostly were with character storylines. So, and that's a screenwriting problem, not a directing issue. So, yeah.
It's an issue that goes to the core of the thing, though.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's a Marvel Studios problem because they're the ones that are in control of what's happening throughout.
Why do you establish that you can send a giant fucking, you know, witchy, like octopus demon things and then never do that again? Why do you have four hench beasts?
Can we talk about that in spoilers?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And then never use them.
I'm going to give it a 60. I did have fun with a lot of it, but then also it angered me in ways that we'll talk about later. You know, and it's not the Sam Raimi-ness of it that angered me. I kind of agree that I love when these films do different things, and I really like genre mashups and where it can take these kinds of films. So I'm not angry at it stylistically. I'm angry at it for other reasons.
It's to be revealed.
60. Next.
60.
Next. Quinny, you got to drag it back up, buddy.
Look, I fully intend to because I really enjoyed myself. I can see the faults. I can see all of the things and, like, you know, I'll see a criticism and I'll go, eh, fair. You know, there's a bit with a memory machine that is dumb as fuck. And I'm like, yeah, dumb. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I remember that bit now. Yeah.
There's a sequence where you're like, the most amazing thing, but how? The most amazing thing about this entirely weird, different alternate universe is like it comes that red means go.
Go on,
pizza
red.
Pizza comes in balls. What?
Go on, red.
But I don't care, because as it went on, I found myself just going, yep, cool, sweet. I love the raminess of it. I loved the sequence with the big octopus climbing up the side of the building, where I'm like, yeah, you're doing Spider-Man 2, baby. Yeah. I loved the horror elements. I loved the creepiness. I wanted more of that. Mm. And I actually really enjoyed the continuation of storylines that made it feel like, yes, I watched WandaVision for a really good reason. And, you know, here's these other stuff. But once again, that'll all be covered in the spoiler section. So for me, it's an 89. I love the shit out of it. I can see the problems. I know they're there. I know the fan service is fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I still went, so yes. I mean, taste. Some people have it, and then there's Dion.
Oh! Ouch!
Quinny, lower is still a class.
There are so many daggers just left, right, and center.
Swinging every which way.
Oh, dear. It's called fashion, Quinny. Look it up.
I don't have to.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's also a good point there from that's Druidic in the chat. Everyone only went to this movie so that they could watch the Avatar 2 trailer before.
Ew.
Does anyone give a fuck?
No
about
one
that?
Wanted it. James Cameron.
Nobody asked for it.
It was the world's. It's the world's biggest movie.
The same day that the Avatar 2 trailer came out, also a trailer came out for Thing of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones
House
sequel.
House of the Dragon.
Thing I don't give two shits
exactly.
about.
I was like, wow, it's a whole bunch of shit I don't care about.
But maybe
James Cameron, can you please just make a sequel to Titanic? Because that's where your efforts would be better spent.
Look, I don't understand why everyone's got a hate on for all this sort of stuff. Just remember that that sort of content, those movies and TV series, they're not for you, all right? They're for the marketing machine behind it to create money for shareholders. That's all they're there for. The marketing machine to create money for shareholders. Okay. Literally, it's like, hey, this was successful. We should do more of that. Anyway, should I go to a clip and then we'll come back and do spoilery shit?
Yes, yeah, do it.
All right. I have no idea what this clip is. I haven't watched it beforehand. Multipass. America Chavez has a multipass to the multiverse. Wow. Okay. Cool. So come on then. Convince me why this film isn't shit.
No, that's not our job.
That's not the job. But in this section, I do want to talk about the problem with Wanda.
Okay. We need to talk about Wanda.
Okay.
So they Daenerys Targaryen Wanda Maximoff, and I'm very upset about it.
Yes! Like, okay.
See, so fully justified, Doctor Strange not, 2 is shit.
There was not enough blame placed on the Darkhold other than Wanda being the one, you know, at fault. So, like, she went through this whole character growth of, like, going through a grieving process in WandaVision, getting in touch with her powers and learning that, you know, okay, well, maybe like the way to handle this was not to enslave a whole town with your mind powers. And then she's like, oh, damn, I did that. Yeah, I'm not going to do that again. Wasn't cool. Then it's just like, oh, fuck that. Now she's got this Darkhold and it's possessed her. But we're not going to blame the book. We're going to blame her for not making better choices.
I really felt like they were blaming the book pretty heavily. I thought that was made very clear that the book was the thing that corrupts.
Not for me.
Okay, I mean, fair dues. I'm not going to argue with you as to what you heard.
I mean, there was like no attempt whatsoever to like negotiate with Wanda. It was just all about, oh, well, she's made up her mind, guys. Soz can't do anything about it.
Yeah, like, I mean, yes. Wanda in this was just like, oh, they're going to see Wanda. Yay, the Scarlet Witch. Yay, she's a hero. She did some bad shit, but she paid, like, a price for it. And nope, she's just evil. She's just evil.
Yeah.
To be honest, I guess one of the things that I was, I'd always thought that she was probably going to be the villain of this story. Like, for the last however long it was announced that she was in it, because of the whole thing in the comics of House of M and stuff like that. And I thought where they left at the end of WandaVision with her both, you know, having a cup of coffee and at the same time reading the Darkhold and hearing her children's voices from other universes, I thought that to me felt like a pretty natural jumping off point to where this was. Like, the Darkhold is an evil book that corrupts people. So I was like, okay. I mean, I agree. I think they didn't do enough to give her good reason.
Yeah, apart from the fact that it was just
I think
like,
that's true from the perspective of an audience member who doesn't have any context outside of the MCU. And for an audience that doesn't have the context of House of M and all that stuff. And I'm tangentially aware that Scarlet Witch is an antagonist in the comics. Yeah. But... It felt exactly like the Daenerys thing where they were kind of like, oh, yeah, but I guess there were going to be two more seasons where this was going to happen gradually, but lol, it didn't. So here's evil, willowed out Wanda for like, and oh, what's the reason? Oh, children, crazy. Ah, woman. Like, Marvel has a problem with women. And I'm starting to think that Marvel has a problem with childless women, because if you look at like the Avenger team, obviously not the original Avenger team, but Wanda was the other female member of the Avenger team for a couple of movies. And after, I mean, you guys know how angry I was after Endgame because of the dirty they did Black Widow there and the entire background of the decision, which had been set up in previous movies, was Black Widow thinking her life is less valuable because she has no children. So then you have this other female Avenger character who goes through a traumatic event in a series that really looks at grief in a very interesting and sensitive way and loses her children from that event and goes crazy because she's a woman without her children. I just made me real angry. And
okay, I will agree I'm here with for you this. Wholeheartedly.
They basically gave her the Jean Grey treatment and it was like, okay, here's a woman that needs help and instead of helping her, we're just going to fight her.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but they already established that in the – they did that story already in the WandaVision TV show. Like, it's
– Yeah, they've completely rehashed exactly what they did in the TV show.
Exactly. Like, here is a woman that needs help. Eventually, she does get somewhat help in it and is able to access that kind of thing.
But the weird thing is the only help she gets is from her fucking self. Like, she had to do everything herself in WandaVision. Her children weren't real. Vision wasn't real. It was her talking to herself. How did she solve the problem in the end of this movie? She did it herself because she scared her kids that she wanted and was like, I'm not a monster. And then she's like, oh, wait a fucking second. I just killed a bunch of people in another multiverse. Like, I am a monster.
You need to be a monster, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, where was everybody else that was like trying to get her on side to help them with America? They just were like, sorry, you are a monster. We don't want to deal with you now.
And would this have worked better if more of the story had been about her making the decision to embrace that, the darker side or whatever? Because I do think one problem I have with this is that the change had already happened off screen. Like, you see her at the start and she's already the bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose we were supposed
to have seen some attempt.
Yeah. Sorry. The only attempt of that we got was the end credits stinger from WandaVision. And I'm like, that's not enough for people that maybe have not watched that to go into this and think, hang on, why is she evil all of a sudden?
Yeah. Rob made the point in the chat also that because of the end of WandaVision, he was expecting that this film, you know, WandaVision would be trying to find her children, and that would be part of the plot. And that's what I was expecting as well. I was expecting Wanda and Doctor Strange to be working together. That's where the end of WandaVision led me to. So it led to a completely different spot than you, Quinny, without the additional context.
Yeah, and I mean, that could very easily have been an equally great storyline for them to work together. I would have loved to have seen them work together for a while and then, you know, for her to get more and more corrupted and to play with the corruption of the book more. I mean, as other people in the chat have said, the corrupting factor of the book was either obvious to some or not to others, you know.
Perfect example as to why you, as said earlier in the chat, though, I will back it up, a perfect time to have introduced Mephisto and had him corrupting Wanda through the Darkhold.
Okay, look.
Also, it corrupts Wanda, but it doesn't corrupt.
Exactly. I just want to reiterate. No, I want to reiterate the line where she said, "You do it and you become the hero. I do it and I'm the villain."
Yeah.
She went through this whole movie being corrupted by this book, but Stephen Strange uses the book at the end and he gets rewarded with a third eye and still is a hero. And I'm like,
also
that
graphic.
Yep.
Sorry. I'm like, can we please stop demonizing the female characters? I did not want her to be a villain in this movie. And that was one thing that I was disappointed about with this film.
I also want to say that once again, this is a different reading of that because I saw him getting a third eye as him falling to corruption, because the only other person we saw that had a third eye was the Stephen Strange that had been totally corrupted.
Yeah, but then he gets up and dusts it off and he's fine.
The stinger fucks with that, and that really annoys me.
Yeah.
Because the idea of the last shot of the thing of Stephen Strange going, oh, shit, I've been corrupted, and having, you know, this thing is great. The stinger fucks it.
Yeah, because it's like, consequences. He's fine.
Yeah. I mean, would it
be leveled up?
It kind of could have been more interesting if he had woken up from his nightmare, which he established at the start, gone to a bathroom mirror and looked at his reflection, and the reflection could have opened up a third eye, and then that would have been like, oh, interesting. But this is why I kind of go, there are two weird movies in this. One is about multiverse traveling and trying to fix something with America Chavez, who is a character that is introduced and then is there nothing more than to talk about how we need to go through the multiverse, and she's just
someone that's been,
I know. Yeah. And that's
for a moment at the end that was so bad that somebody in the audience actually laughed.
Which bit?
Because it was so on the nose. You know,
it was,
reminds me of someone else. Get it?
No, the just believe in yourself, because all the way through I'm thinking like, okay, there's got to be some way that America rescues herself at the end of this, because you know, we're done with the damsel in distress thing, and we can't have the entire movie be about Doctor Strange trying to, you know, protect and save a girl. So I was thinking like, oh, they've got to find a way for her to save herself at the end of this, otherwise it will just be too enraging. But like, that moment was so, like, so on the
getting nose. A pep talk from a zombie,
so on the nose. Like,
I mean, this is where
I wish that after he'd winked the eye had fallen out. That would have
that would have been great, especially considering they did the whole eye gag at the start. Remember when they like popped the thing out? Like, there's a lot of eye gags in there, and this is where I go, hey, there were some really fucking cool ideas in this film. Like, I will get onto that. Zombie Doctor Strange.
A zombie with an undead cloak.
With
like,
an undead cloak.
That's the most metal thing I've ever seen on screen. Yeah.
I'm down for that. I was there going, that's actually pretty cool, but I'm tired now and I've been here for 2 hours. And could you just wrap this fucking shit up, mate? Like, this would have been much cooler about an hour ago. And that's why I kind of rate it so badly, because to be honest, it bought the shit out of it. Like, were there great bits? Yeah. And once, you know, from that first trailer where it's like, you know, Stephen Strange, the Illuminati, I was like, oh, fuck, this is how they're getting everyone in there. Because if you know who is on the Illuminati, you're like, so I'm going to see Reed Richards, I'm going to see Charles Xavier, I'm going to see fucking Black Bolt, and I'm going to see Namor. And that's the only one they didn't put in there. No, was Namor.
But you know what? I'm glad we didn't get a Tom Cruise Iron Man. If there's one saving grace, it was that never happened.
I kind of felt like I love the fact that they introduced all of these people just so Sam Raimi had the like was given the green light by Marvel to just knock them all off so that they can clear their decks a little bit.
If they want to, because they can still bring them back if they want to.
Yeah, like if they still want to. But I did kind of look at it and I was like, oh, fuck, this is just wearying. Like, it's cool to watch, but I was like, I don't want them to hurt Wanda. Like, there's a weird thing. Wanda is the villain across all this. I looked at Wanda and I'm like, poor lady. She just needs a hug. Like, not like, oh, my God, we need you to stop this horrible person.
Somebody
I was just
help
like,
her.
She just
Please.
Wants a family. She help just her. Wants her kids. Like, it's like. She's not a bad person. Stop making her out to be as though she's going to kill everything.
I know. Oh, my God.
Also, what is up with her powers?
So
can we just understand?
Okay.
Can I understand
can we bring
what the
bigger
spotlight
to that? Sure. Because, like, if you have the power to shape reality and can, for example, think away somebody's mouth, why don't you just think away all of your enemies? Like, why fight at all? Why not just be like,
and kind of like, you know, little thing there just from the comics. So, you know, there is the storyline called House of M in the comics where she basically has a psychotic break. And at one point she just gets rid of all of the 90% of the mutants on Earth by whispering, no more mutants. And then it just removes everyone and everyone's like, shit. She's
if she could have done that from the start, we wouldn't have had a movie.
We've got to make the movie.
And also we have to make a movie. Yeah.
And also your butt why she's firmly established that she needs to cast runes because that's witchcraft and she does not cast any fucking runes across there to do any of her powers. It's just a bit of this.
Yeah.
Or not even Which this in the end. It's just like power, choices. But- I'm just going to think that your mouth goes away. I did like the Mindscape with Charles Xavier. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, I wanted
And also
more
he
of
almost
that.
Rescued her.
Reader.
Oh, he almost rescued her in that. And I was like, amazing, do it. You know, rescue
Wishes
Paul Walker.
That had been 50-50 horror. I just wish it had been a 400% horror.
I know.
Yeah.
Double down.
I was like the moment that you know, the version of Wanda is stalking them through the tunnels and shit like that. I was like, fuck yes, this is what I'm into. Like there is that creepy Raimi horror.
Sadako out of the gong. Like I was living for that.
That was fucking great. But also I will very cheerfully admit, yes, there is some big problems in terms of the representation of Wanda. Like as I was watching it, I was enjoying it, but I'm also more than willing to go, okay, yeah, there are problems there. And I would love to have seen a different story.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't have a huge problem with her being the villain. What I do have a problem with is the way that they got there, which is too fast and with not enough explanation.
Can I ask a quick question for anyone who may happen to have the answer for me? If the Darkhold is a huge, massive, powerful, corrupting influence, all right, and it can be killed by just burning, why, when she went to the temple where the rest of it is, like, wouldn't that mean that it would already be corrupting there? Like, I don't understand why the book was so important and then they get rid of it. And they say, but it's still the spells are on the temple. And I'm like, so why the fuck was the book so important?
The book was a copy. The book was so you didn't have to keep going to the temple to
read the spells.
It's convenient. Really.
Yeah.
I was just like,
it was a dictation.
Yeah.
Also, I'm really pissed off where how those four golems that protect the temple died without doing anything.
Yeah.
They didn't protect shit. They just bowed.
Yeah, but I mean they got to like have a bit of Wong time. Like
we all love a bit of Wong.
Yeah. I will that's true, Druidic has asked a really, really good and important and meaningful question.
And why did they get no explanation as to who he was?
Why was there?
You can't just put
Minotaur?
A fucking green Minotaur in your movie and not tell us his name,
and not give him dialogue or her. Sorry, I don't mean to gender.
They've got a fucking Minotaur pop vinyl for the character, and I still don't know who he is.
And yet the sequence where Wanda is whispering in somebody's ear is still generic human person number five. Yeah, yeah. Use the fucking Minotaur if you've got it there.
Right.
Like, but she could have just thought the entire army out of existence. I don't understand. Does anyone else think it's like it was a bit of a shame to bring back Patrick Stewart after such a nice send-off in Logan?
Yes.
Yes.
He's done.
But I don't care.
He had a nice time and he's done. I mean, at least they put him in the yellow
wheelchair. I don't care.
They put him in the yellow fucking floating wheelchair.
Exactly. And I'm that's like, that's
yes!
What I don't care.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
They gave him his sting and they put him in the wheelchair and they gave him the green, awful green suit. Like,
yep. I don't give a fuck. I'm perfectly happy for him to roll out.
It could only
old,
have been better if they'd
the
gone. I would have been like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Well, they did.
Did they?
They played it.
Yes.
Oh. Credited in the,
he
in
rolled
the
out to that music.
Oh, yeah, he did too. Sorry, that's why I was excited about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm down. Like, Reed Richards was like, eh. I do like
it. I think it was hilarious them using Black Bolt.
Yes.
And putting Anson Mount in the comics accurate outfit after the shit fight that they did with him for Inhumans, the TV series. I was like, oh, wow, you owed him big time, didn't you?
Yeah, that series blows hard. Oh, so I was honestly surprised to see Black Bolt there.
Also, Captain Carter, amazing. Thank you. I want that. That's
yes.
Fine. Amazing.
Yes.
Cool. Like,
devastated that they chopped her in half. Yeah. You don't even get to see it.
Yeah.
Actually, one thing I was quite disappointed by, I wanted the evil Doctor Strange from that, you know, the Dying Universe. Yeah. I wanted that to be the Doctor Strange from What If.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
I was really looking forward to him spewing out fucking demons and monsters that he'd, been ingesting.
But no, and music fight.
Yes.
I like the music fight.
I will hear no bad words about that music fight. Thank you. That was amazing.
But this is the thing. I think this is kind of the problem that I had mostly with it is that Marvel, their stock in trade or the thing that they're kind of actually known for now is having thought out everything and linked it through and worked really hard on maintaining consistency and dropping things in because it can all be sort of like, oh yeah, we've definitely got threads of it. And in this one, that's the thing I had the most problem with. I was like, this has no connection or understanding. Like, if it does have a connection, it's like a connection that someone had said in an elevator ride to Sam Raimi. It's like, hey Sam, by the way, you've got to do this right, and or that story of like, oh yeah, I watched a few of the key points from WandaVision and then I moved on. I'm like, yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like there's no underlying narrative thread that is important. I'm not saying there aren't any narrative threads, there are lots. But the important ones seem to be missing in this. Like, I watched this movie and in the end I went, well, that has done nothing for phase four. I don't know how they're going to reference Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness in fucking Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Does it have to?
Yes, I think it's going to be a fascinating time when we hit, you know, Thor, the Love and Thunder.
Thor's got a goat boat. I don't care. I'm down for the stupid. Like, I look at Thor, like the Love and Thunder, and I'm just like, I don't care because they're the canon. They're the establishing film, and everything's got to revolve around that. Maybe that's what it was with this one. It's like they didn't call this one the linchpin film. This isn't the one that all the others are based on. This is just one that is tenuously attached to the rest.
Sorry, Pete. I was going to say, I think the idea that this was supposed to be come before WandaVision makes so much sense to me. Because if it had come before WandaVision and been, you know, Wanda's big bad Willow moment, and then WandaVision is her rehabilitation from that, then that makes sense.
That would have characterized. Yeah, 100% would have made more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sad that they didn't do that because I can see, like, in the universe, like Wanda in the height of her grief after using Vision going big bad for a bit, and then WandaVision being her process of working through that grief and coming back from that. And then, you know, we end up with a Wanda that can, you know, continue to be a part of the universe or not. This way we've kind of got kind of Wanda, oh, what happened to her? Yes. And what happened to her was exactly what happened to Black Widow in the end. And it was essentially what happened to her already at the end of WandaVision in that, you know, she was forced to correct her own errors by sacrificing everything. So I felt like plot that I'd seen before. So such a shame that, you know, didn't. I can see how it could have worked so well and it just didn't for me.
Yeah.
And also, how terrible was that third eye?
Yeah.
It was just like, it was like power windowed on in a.
I know, it was really shit, wasn't it?
I don't understand why, like, there were so many good effects and then that.
But it's funny. It's funny, actually.
Because if the eye is in the middle, it has to be symmetrical. That's why it looks weird. Because it can't be a left or a right. It has
It looked like it was, like, faded in around the edges. Yeah, like, they should have at least done a prosthetic or something.
I don't understand why everyone was going, it's the third eye. It's not. It's actually Stephen Strange's fourth eye. Because he's already got the eye of Agamotto.
No, he doesn't have that anymore.
Oh, no, that's gone.
Just the time stone. The Eye of Agamotto is the encasement that it's around. I don't know. I'm just making sure.
Oh, so just looking at the chat, Achlime said you haven't watched any of the Marvel TV shows. I'm fascinated to know how this film would work without any of that build-up or anything like that.
I find that it would... Yeah, if you weren't...
Well, I mean... they've specifically mentioned that they were confused as to why she was the villain and what the Darkhold even was. So, yeah, good luck to anybody that doesn't have a Disney Plus subscription.
But that's also the thing. You know, there are two movies. It's like there's a multiverse one and then there's the sorcery fight between, you know, the Scarlet Witch as her evil personality is and Doctor Strange. You know, and that's where I'm like, so you want the power because you need the power from this girl because she can transport across multiverses, even though she can't control the power. And then there's this whole other thing, which is just trying to stop the Scarlet Witch from going across multiverses, which, as it turns out, she doesn't really fucking need the power to travel through multiverses because she's got the Darkhold, which allows her to walk through other multiverses. So she didn't really need that in the end, and we don't know why or care.
But she couldn't exist in the long term. She would have to... dream walk into another universe and couldn't exist there permanently.
I did like the dream walk thing. That was very Evil Dead, you know, the exact same way. It's like, oh, there's a ill wind and then there's the cameras and the camera that runs straight up into the eye and all that kind of the good old Sam Raimi shtick. It's I've got a few tricks here. Which is interesting. I think that's the thing I said to someone else is that this to me is a very Sam Raimi film. Much like if Quentin Tarantino had made us a Marvel movie, I would probably look at that and go, well, that was a Tarantino film. What it has to do with Marvel, I don't really know. This one that I watched is like, well, that was definitely a Sam Raimi film. What did it have to do with Marvel? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to agree to disagree on that one because I thought it was a Sam Raimi film where he was playing in a very big, bright, Marvel-y sandbox.
Yeah, with a lot of money. This is what happens when you give Raimi a lot of money and you're like, just make whatever you want, mate. Like, it's kind of horror. Yeah, go for it. You like horror. And he's like, cool. I think maybe the difference I would say between the counterparts, which is like James Gunn or Taika Waititi, is in Taika Waititi, we didn't have a lot of cinema background for him before we started getting his experiences. Whereas like Raimi, Raimi has a cinema language.
More importantly, we're used to Raimi's cinema language.
Yeah, that's true. Like we understand his language. Whereas Taika, I think he's establishing it a bit more in these like bigger budget things. So, you know, it's not like we've seen the shots in, but the sense of humor plays through with Taika's movies, his Marvel movies, but the shots and the action and those beats are really pretty generic. It's interesting. Like, I mean, I don't want to pick apart each, you know, filmmaker's vision. All I know is when I watched Thor, it was very definitely a Kenneth Branagh Shakespearean film. And Thor 2, The Dark World was weird and not kind of following, and then you get Taika's
not good.
Then you get the theory like Taika, oh, this is fun, and that's where we've established. Whereas in this now, it's like Doctor Strange, pretty much a cookie cutter establishing movie for the first one, and this one I'm like, oh, this is just Sam Raimi.
See, and that for you is a negative. For me, that is a positive, because up until now, I feel like the Marvel thing has been the thing, and the directors have been kind of workmanlike, you know, and like they've done good jobs, but at no point in time would it, apart from Waititi, would I have gone, ah, that's the director's fingerprints all over it. Whereas I feel like this is actually them letting the directors have more fun and do more of their style. And I think that, like, you look at Chloe Zhao, that's very much her style of film.
Yeah.
This is very much Raimi's style of film. The next one would be more Taika, I'm absolutely sure. And I think if we'd had this around the first time when we did Ant-Man, we would have had an Edgar Wright Marvel film. Instead, we got a safe Marvel film with a director who was doing what they were told. And I'm more excited to have directors play, but that's just me.
And maybe that's...
That's just me.
Oh, I hate this universe.
I do agree with that, Quinny. I really like the idea of other stars coming into these. Otherwise, you know, as much as we're all enjoying this 20-year ride we've been having, we're going to start getting bored of these films if it feels like the same style over and over again, just with different characters. It's just going to feel like watching a very large screen, very long-term television show. I don't resent the Raiminess of this at all. I think it's an interesting experiment, and I didn't not have fun with it. I just didn't have fun with, you know, the plot and all of the character arcs.
That's right, Peter. You're correct.
And to be honest, I did have fun with some of the plot, but only when my brain switched off to Wanda being Wanda and was just like generic big bad, and then it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yep, I mean, fair. I thought that comic book movies were bad because we have to save the world. Now it's like we have to save every world, everywhere, all at once, forever.
No, that's a very different film.
That's a different
movie.
And
I've got a lot to say about that one too.
I have not seen that one. I will get to it. Fuck, okay, it's coming around. There's a whole bunch of stuff to do this week, a month, year, or even this year. What are we watching? Are we wrapping up now? We've been going at it for a long time. It's been a long time.
Please.
Yes, agreed.
What's for the rest of the month? What's coming up next?
Well, I believe this Friday we've got something because it's a certain date.
It's Friday the 13th. Grab your greatest spooky horror. Get to your, camp counselors at the campground and don't have sex or you'll get stabbed with a machete. That's right. We're doing Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th. Ooh. There were only 14 films. Fuck, there's a fuck ton of Friday the 13th films. So remember, this one is Hockey Mask Slasher, not
William Shatner
mask slasher, even though you've been very confused. Halloween, Friday the 13th, very confusing, pretty much the same person.
Can't remember which one I've actually watched. So
come along if you like horror on Friday, or if you're bored, it's gonna be pretty loose.
Yeah. My word.
Yeah, it is not going to be structured at all.
No. Because we've all agreed to do this and then gone, none of us have seen film.
You haven't. Like, I
no,
have.
No, you know who all agreed to this? Dion all agreed to doing it. And we were just there.
I threw it out there.
We're doing Friday the 13th. I was like, are we?
Oh, yeah. Well, you all didn't say no. Like, we should do Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th. That's funny. And then you're all like, oh.
I figured other people have watched it.
I'm sure there are people in the chat who watched it.
Fuck only knows, Predicate.
I watch highbrow horror. I'm sorry. I've not watched any Friday the 13th.
Look, honestly, you only have to watch the first one to get the idea of what we're talking about, and I will not be talking about Freddy versus Jason. You can fuck right off.
Length.
Not talking about that one. Just slasher horror. We're going to talk about that for Friday the 13th. And why you should never have sex. And why Tucker and Dale versus Evil is a perfect sequel to Friday the 13th.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Sure.
Cool. And what are we doing the week after that?
Don't know, Quiddy. You tell us.
Well, it's Quinny's lucky dip on Tuesday.
Yes, because it's my birthday. It's my birthday.
Yeah, I love that you call it the lucky dip. It's actually the birthday bonanza.
Oh, okay.
Quinny's birthday bonanza. Yes, it's his birthday. Come along and throw him fat cash through Ko-Fi or subscriptions to buy his love next Tuesday.
And Peter has actually judged ahead of time what my birthday bonanza is going to be talking about.
Yeah.
Because also I come very close to sharing a birthday with one of our regular listeners, Elska Norga. Yeah. He says that 17th of May is Norwegian Constitution Day, which I'm like, I have a Norwegian constitution. I could eat all sorts of shit and not get sick. But I would love to be having a look at a series called The Foreigners.
Oh, fuck's sake.
I'm not going to tell you to watch all of it. Just watch a couple of episodes. I think there's some really fun, interesting stuff in there. So we will be putting that one on the official thing, but my choice for next week is looking at The Foreigners.
The Foreigners, yes. And then I hope you're all watching Station 11 in the background, and Jill and Pete are just, I'm currently up episode number 4 of Severance.
Dude.
Oh, come on.
Dude, just watch it.
I tried. Watch it. They're an hour long each. I don't get any time.
I know, but there's a cliffhanger at the end of every episode. How are you stopping?
I don't know. When I look up and it's like, it's 3 a.m. I have to go to work today. I've only got a few hours to go to sleep.
Sorry, Missy's asking the question, and I will say it on the thing as well. The Foreigners can all be found on SBS. So SBS On Demand, in very good quality. It's with great subtitles. If there's one thing I love about SBS, it's always been the quality of their subtitles.
Mm.
Cool.
Yes.
And also you can see Station 11 on Stan and Severance on Apple TV. And there's also a sneaky little animates in there somewhere, isn't there?
Yes, though there is a question mark in terms of the date, because we did realise that the date that we had said we were going to do Animates was the date of Obi-Wan, and namely two episodes of Obi-Wan on one night.
Yes, so one's going to come watch our show when they can.
Nobody's
going to
give a
Obi-Wan
shit about Animates, so we
might. I don't want to come to our show when I could be watching Obi-Wan.
I'm not on Animates, so I'm like, whatever, guys, have fun on Animates.
Yeah, we may be making a little bit of a change to the schedule on that one. Well, just watch this space, or watch the space at the top of our Facebook page anyway.
Yeah, okay, fair enough then.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we'll do an Obi-Wan after show. I don't.
Peter, stop trying to convince people to watch Severance over Station 11. They're both equally good shows. They're just very different.
I mean, look, I watched Station 11 6 months ago, so you're going to have a very vague review from me, unfortunately.
Fair enough. All right. Thanks for coming along.
And I need to watch it all, apparently.
What a good and divisive show this one was, and I love to be on Camp Peter going, nup. Well, Jill and Quinny.
Well, I'm in the Quinny camp, and we're going to fight you.
Yeah. I know I'm a
polar bear, so I'm going to fuck you up after the show.
Yeah, you and your little mate there. I'm going to take you down to the bike sheds and give you a blood nose.
Yeah.
It's very hard to take me seriously when I'm a fluffy polar bear, isn't it?
I think it would be hard to take you seriously saying that shit when you're just Quinny, to be honest.
I am very dangerous, I'll have you know. Thank you, Peter.
Yes, you are you. Yes, you fluffy little white polar bear. You're very dangerous, aren't you? Aren't you very dangerous? Look at you. All right. We're out of here.
We are. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.